Christian greetings again tonight to each of you. It's a blessing to see a church house so well filled, and we just welcome all of you, friends, family, strangers. It's good to have each one here tonight. My heart was blessed through Brother Willard's devotions and the phrase, the one, just one little sentence that he said that caught my attention. He was talking about verse 8, the thought of Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then he made the comment that Jesus is right where you left him off. And that caught my attention. I don't know where Jesus is in your experience tonight. I hope he's right with you. I hope he's been with you all day today and he's right by your side at the moment. But if he's not, you know where he is? Right where you left him. He didn't move. He didn't run off. He didn't get a ticket and find a flight out of here somewhere. He's not miles and miles across the sea somewhere. The other end of the United States, he's right where you left him. Where did you leave him? Back up, find him. Precious thought, to know that Jesus is right where we left him. Well, we have another little question to follow up here with the younger people with us. I'm glad for the children among us, and I've been having a little time with them each evening, been asking a question or giving them a quote or something, just a little homework to do, and you all done real well this week. Thank you for participating in this and doing your part. Tonight we actually have three questions we want to answer, I believe. I gave you the quote, "We have forsaken all and follow thee. What shall we have therefore?" Who asked this question? Can someone tell me where it came from? Back there I see a hand. Who was it? Peter. Yes, that's right. To whom was it asked? Who did he ask the question to? Can someone tell me that? Peter asked this question. Who did he ask? Who was the person that was with Peter that Peter was asking this question to? Anyone? Yes. Jesus, that's right. Jesus was with Peter, and Peter asked him this question. Where's it found in the Bible? Can you tell me that? Yes. Very good. Matthew 19:27. You may open your Bibles to Matthew 19:27. I'd just like to read these verses here. Peter said, "We have forsaken all." Do you know what did Peter do for an occupation? What may Peter have been referring to? What do you think Peter was thinking about when Peter said, "We forsook all"? I don't know what all Peter was thinking about, but we know that Peter was a fisherman, right? He liked to go fishing. In fact, when Peter got stressed out, that's where he would go. Some of us, I know there's some people here that like to go fishing as well. I don't know if that's where you head when you get stressed out or not. Maybe you do. Stress gets too high and you just, you know what, let's take the boat and go boating and go fishing, relaxation. Maybe that's what Peter was thinking about when he said this. He might have been thinking, you know what, I used to enjoy fishing. I like to do that. And I left that all behind to follow you, Jesus. Here I am doing what you told me you want me to do from time to time. And, you know, we're journeying here, and maybe he was getting discouraged with life. Life was maybe bringing some things Peter's way he didn't like at times, and he'd think back to the times when he could have just went fishing. We left all that behind. We forsook it all. And Peter's saying, and what am I getting for it? What am I receiving? What's the benefit of this? I kind of think maybe that's where Peter was going with this question. Well, let's look at it. Matthew 19, 27. I'd like to read a few verses. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all, and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on his throne in his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, every one that hath left everything, is what Jesus was saying, to follow me. Everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit what? Everlasting life. That's what it's going to pay. Everlasting life. He says, you that have followed me to the point where you have taken on a new life. That's what he's saying when he says, you have followed me in the regeneration. In other words, those of you who have sold out, have laid yourself on the altar, have died to your own ideas, like we talked about earlier this week numerous times, and your heart has taken on some new meaning and some new life, and you are walking with me in the newness of life. You're crucifying the old life. You're putting it to death. And you're following me. You, he says, are going to have the privilege of judging. And I don't know if that's a privilege or not. I don't know how I view all that. But the thought that I like is the thought of everlasting life. The promise is there's a payday coming. So, what was the pay for having forsaken all? Everlasting life. Well, children, what can we learn from this tonight? You've done real well in being at church this week. You're probably just about getting tired of going to church every night, huh? Just about getting tired of it. That's okay. We all get there. But you know what? What you have done this week, Jesus has noticed. There's a sense in which you have forsaken some things in the evenings this week. You could have been doing other things, some of those hobbies. Maybe not this time of the year, maybe not go fishing as much. But there's other things you could have been doing these evenings. Every night you could have just been at home enjoying whatever you do. But instead, you left that behind and you came to church. And I suppose that you all have learned some things this week. I hope you have. I trust you have. Maybe some things this week that you're not going to forget. You're going to remember. And it's going to be a blessing to your life. So thank you so much for being here this week, coming and enjoying the time together. I trust that you have enjoyed it, like most of the rest of us have. And continue to do that. God bless all you little children. We appreciate that. I'm not going to give you a question for tomorrow night. I think we'll call that quits with the questions for the little ones. But again, thank you so much for participating in this and studying and looking and coming with answers and being willing to answer. It's been a blessing. I'm glad tonight to see the older children among us. And tonight I decided I'd like to speak and share some things with the youth. I'm glad there's so many youth here. And the children are youth, and then there's older youth, and there's even some older youth here. I know that, but I put you all in the youth bracket tonight. I guess youth are considered youth as maybe as long as they're not married, huh? It gets to a point where youth decide they're not youth anymore, even if they aren't married. But we're glad for all the single people among us. God has a place for you in church life. God needs you. Just because you're older and you're single, there's a real blessing of having those people among us. God has a place for you. Don't ever let that thought discourage you, or you think that you're somehow of a lesser whatever. Whatever word you want to put in there, just because you're not married. And God has a work for you. God has a place for you. And tonight I'd just like to give encouragement to our youth, and I'd like to tell you some things that are real in life. And it's okay tonight if we just pretend like Dad and Mom aren't even here. I might say some things. I might tell you some things about them, and it's okay if I don't care if they hear it. But tonight we're going to talk about some real issues of life and some real things and some things that I know that happened and are, exist, and that have. And some of the reason I know some of the things is because there was a day, believe it or not, that I was a youth. And I had some experiences in life, some things that happened. In fact, I'd like to tell you first of all tonight that if you are here as a youth and you have parents somewhere, you have a dad and a mom somewhere that is alive in this world and is still putting at least some influence into your lives, thank the Lord for that. Be very thankful. I didn't have my parents as long as what some people did. In fact, when I was 11 years old, my mother died of cancer. I was the youngest of five of us children in our family. I have four siblings. I was the youngest. In fact, I was quite a bit younger. I have a nephew that is closer to my age and quite a bit closer than any of my brothers are. So he was more like a brother to me than a nephew. So I'm almost in the next generation behind my siblings. It's just about what it amounts to. So the rest of my siblings were all pretty much married. My next oldest brother was getting married right at the time when my mother passed away. So I ended up from 11 years on till I was married, just spending my time with a dad at home. And my dad was losing his wife and going through that. He had his own journey of grief to travel. And I observed that. I could see that, saw that firsthand. And yes, I was close to my dad, but I wasn't as close to my father as I could have been. I think I grew closer to him in those years following. But I couldn't wait till the day when I was old enough and could travel with our youth and the youth group and get away weekends and just be in my own and be away, because there wasn't a lot that drew me at home really anymore. The heart of my home had left, and a big part of my heart had left without a mother. It wasn't all easy in those youthful years, young youthful years especially, being in a situation like that. And it wasn't actually real long after my wife and I met my wife and found a wife that I thank the Lord for today yet. I'm very glad that God brought my wife into my life. We have a good marriage. But it wasn't long after we were married when my father passed away then too. I was just a young married man, and so I didn't have a father then from that point on either to turn to for advice and ask. There was a sense in which I was just kind of on my own and made life happen as I could make it happen. Just a little background to myself. Open your Bibles to Proverbs. I want to look at some scripture tonight. There's a little bit of groundwork to where I'd like to go with this message this evening. The proverb writer has some things to say about children and some good advice. Some things that I just want to, in the outstart of this message, lay out to you that are just taken for granted, but they are foundational principles and they are things that need to be in place, and you as young people need to understand it and respect it no matter who your parents are tonight. And We'll talk about some more of that, but let's just lay a little bit of groundwork. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." Now let's just pause here and ponder what the proverb writer is saying in these two verses. So children are called to hear the instruction of your fathers, your parents. The things that your parents tell you, you are supposed to listen to and hear them. You know what? Sometimes we hear parents talk, but we don't really hear, right? The proverb writer is saying, listen to this, because your parents have been through some things in life and have experienced some things that you haven't experienced yet. They are speaking from the voice of experience. And when I mean the voice of experience, I'm saying that your dad and your mom have been right where you are at the moment. They have went right through life. At one point in time, they had a dad and a mom that were teaching them and telling them things. And they probably at that point may have had the same attitude that you may have right now. And maybe have experienced similar things in their experience that as to what you are experiencing. But they have come through that valley, as it were. And they're, could we just say they're standing up in the next mountaintop or the next hill, the next higher peak in life, and they look back and they have learned some things through that experience. And now they're here telling you from that experience. They're giving you some instruction. They're telling you because they have been there and they have been gone through that. And they say, so don't, son, daughter, don't do this and do this. It's instruction they're giving. Notice what he says in verse 2. He says, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." So it's a given tonight, I believe, we take from this verse that parents have the right to set a law, as it were, a standard. They have the right to say that in our home, as a father in my home, as a leader of this home, a God-given responsibility that your father has, we will do thus and thus and thus and thus. This is the principles that we're going to live by. This is the things we do in our home. And it may be different than the neighbor's home, than your friend's parents' home. You may go visit your friends at times, and you may walk into their house, and they may do things different, and their dad might do things a little different, and you might say, you know what, I just wish my dad would be like that dad over there. I wish my mom would be like her mom is. I just wish that these things happened among people, among our settings, right within a congregation like this. Those kind of things happened. And you can go out of that home and you can start dwelling on that and thinking about that, and you can make yourself believe that your friend just has a better set of parents than what I do. But I'm just talking about things that I know happened. God forbid that you do that, because God has given your parents responsibility to decide for their home what is going to take place. Let's read on. Verse 3. "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." So that tells me tonight that parents naturally have a love for their children. When children are born to a dad and a mom, they are special because, you know what, children, you're a part of their life. You're a part of your father and your mother's life. You're theirs. God, really you're God's, but God gave them to your parents, gave you to your parents, I should say. And your parents love you. They care about you. I just want you to know that tonight, because I know that sometimes children and sometimes young people get the idea that their parents don't love them. They don't care. Or maybe they even get the idea And I'll be honest, I'm going to be frank tonight. Sometimes there are parents who maybe love one child more than the other. God forbid that it should be that way. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. I'll have more to say about that later. But you may get that feeling, and I don't want to say tonight that that's not true, because I know that can happen. But even though you may feel that way, I want to assure you tonight that God, that your parents love you. I really believe they do. I think within a mother's heart there is something that loves every child she ever had. They're special, they're theirs, and you accept that and know that your parents care about you. Remember that as they lay the principles of life down to you, as they lay this law down, as they lay standards down for your home, that it's because they care about you, and it's because they care about your souls and your salvation. And so the proverb writer goes on. In verse 4, he says that your parents, he taught me. He's talking about his father now. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. I could preach all night about that verse right there, because that is a loaded verse. Let thine heart retain my words. That means that you're supposed to do more than just hear what Dad said. If your heart's going to retain it, that means you are going to stop and you're going to ponder what your parents are trying to teach you. And if you stop and you consider and you ponder, there's something that's going to happen in your heart. And it needs to happen in your heart. It's going to be more than just hearing and going on and acting like you didn't hear. It's going to take root in the heart. There's going to be a fruit coming forth from that if you let that happen. Let thine heart retain. He says, keep my commandments. How do we keep the commandments? The evidence of keeping the commandments and instruction of a father is when you start bearing the fruit that your father wants you to bear, because you have heard him and you have listened and you have taken his advice and you say, okay, Dad, I'll do that. And maybe you even say at times, I don't understand that, but I trust you because I believe that you have went through the experience before. And here you are, you're giving me this advice, and so I'll take it, I'll listen, I'll trust. And when you do that, you can start bearing fruit. Notice the next two words that he says. He says, keep my commandments, and he says, and live. Dear youth tonight, young people, this is where life starts. This is where new life starts. This is where real life starts. Real life does not start disobeying Dad and Mom and not listening to them and taking your own course and going out and taking off and leaving home and going and living it up to your heart's content out with the world and everything that it can. All the things that you call living up, they're not life. They're not living. They're the road to death. In fact, they're the road to, like I said last night, they're the road to confusion. They are the road to a smitten conscience that bothers you. And you know that you're not doing right. And you don't feel good about it. And it hurts. And you're not happy. It's everything but peace and joy. You might act like it's not. You might act like you're good and tough and everything else, and it's not that way. In reality, I know better. You know why I know? I've been there. I've been there. Done that. Know that in the past. It's not until you find forgiveness and move on and listen to these words here and find life. And then there's peace and joy, and there is real life. That's what he's talking about. Real life that bears fruit. Let's read on. Verse 5, he says, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Now he's talking about wisdom. When you get wisdom, he says, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Wisdom is a preserver. Love her, love this wisdom, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. In other words, put it into your heart and listen and get it. Exalt her, and she shall what? Promote thee. That's what you want, right? We want to be noticed. We want to be a somebody. We want to be promoted. Well, the way to really be promoted is to die to self, allow ourselves to go to the end of our own desires, and allow God and allow Christ into our hearts, and He will promote us. Wisdom will promote us. She will bring thee to honor. She'll bring thee to the place where people will see and will notice and will honor when thou dost embrace her. You see, wisdom starts with the instruction of a father. Don't lose that connection as we think about this. I want you to keep that connection. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. There's another promise. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. We're not going to spend all night in these verses, but I'm just laying these verses out to you tonight to lay a foundation, because here's where it all begins. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1 says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. This also includes daughters. We're talking about young people. I believe tonight that you need to be aware that your parents care about you. And if you're a son or a daughter that has been turning your back on the advice of your parents, know that there's parents who are at home at times wondering where you are with a heavy heart, wondering what you're involved in, and wishing they would know what's happening in your life. They do care about you. I'm going to be very honest tonight, too. To make a wise son, I believe it takes a wise father. Could it be that a wise father will make a glad son? Could that be a reality as well? I believe so. And so, young people, I'm going to be real tonight, and we want to talk about some things. If you have parents that were asked to share a report about their children, well, let me just say it like this. You know, we as ministry sometimes are asked to share a report of our young people that are ready to go to Bible school. You need to fill out Bible school applications, and there's a part on there. If you've done that, you know what I'm talking about. There's a part on there that we as ministry need to fill out. What if your parents were to fill a report out like that about you in everyday life, in your everyday walk? What would it look like? Have you ever stopped and pondered that and thought about that? I know the young people, when they come with those Bible school applications, it's kind of a scary thing for them to come to their leaders still. I can tell that when they come, they're just not quite sure about this sometimes, especially the first time they do that. I can understand that. It's a part of being a young person and approaching someone that looks older and has the role of authority in your life, I guess. But I enjoy filling those out. I do, and I try not to be too hard on young people, because I know and I want young people to grow and want to encourage them. So, I'm talking about relating to our parents tonight. So a few things I want to tell you about parents. You might sit here tonight and say, but you know what? If you would know my dad and my mom, My parents are what not what you think they are or what you think they should be. My parents are good at putting up a good front in church life too when they come to church. They try to impress the preachers too sometimes. And if you would know what my parents are like at home, then you would understand why I struggle with the things I do. I think some of you may think that at times. I believe that. And I will be honest enough to admit to you tonight that parents aren't always what they should be. In fact, should I tell you something that might surprise you? Your parents aren't listening. They aren't going to hear me say this tonight. But there's not a one of you here tonight, young people, that has a perfect set of parents. There's not a one set of perfect parents here among us tonight. Every one of them is human, just like I am. They're human. They have their faults. They have their failures. And they know it. Maybe they don't admit it. Maybe they don't let you know that they know they have it sometimes. I think they should. I think they ought to be humble enough to admit that they don't do everything right. Because I really believe it's... I know that you know it. You live with them and you see it. And you know that. And they may as well just humble themselves and admit it. You may say tonight, yes, my parents, thus and thus and thus and thus. You have your whole list of grievances about your parents. You can have that list. But I want to ask you another question tonight. May I ask you tonight, does your whole list of grievances, does everything you know about your imperfect parents, does that change what God's word says about your relationship with your parents? Can you give me one verse from the Bible that makes room for you not to hear the good instruction that they give you? If they give you good advice and good instruction, and they give you wisdom, and they try to lead you, and they try to tell you that in my home, we will live like this, and we will do this. Because, why? Because I'm dad. It's my God-given responsibility to make a decision. Maybe your dad doesn't make the best decision, but he done the best that he could. He did the best that he thought. He done what he thought God wanted him to do. And so he made that decision in that home. Maybe it wasn't as good as the brother down the road did for his family, but it was the best that he could do with the understanding that he had. And so you have your whole list of, yeah, but so and so and so. Does that somehow give you a license to not obey and not honor? Let me tell you what the Bible says about this. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Does your list of grievances tonight that you carry about your parents all of a sudden give you a license not to honor your father and your mother anymore? I'm sorry, sons and daughters, I don't see it in the Bible. You are still to honor them in light of their mistakes. And yes, the Bible says that fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath, but they are to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Sadly tonight, the truth is that parents do have faults and fall short of the ideal, the perfectness. And some parents, I'm going to be honest, prove themselves to be unloving, to be selfish, to be foolish, and to be hard to get along with. Yes, I have witnessed, I have seen, I know parents who have been that way. I don't believe that your parents want to be that way, but sometimes they are. But it doesn't give you a license tonight to be dishonorable. You still need to honor your parents. Let me tell you this, young people. As long as we focus on the imperfections of our parents, of your earthly parents, as long as you focus on that, if that's your focus, and you just stay focused on the imperfections of your parents, you will have difficulty. In fact, it will be impossible for you to honor your father and your mother. You won't even be, if you just focus on that, you won't even be able to see the good in them. I'm going to tell you something else tonight. There's not a one set of parents here tonight who does not have some good in them. Your parents, every one of your fathers and your mothers has some good in them. Some are good and some are perfect in certain areas, in certain things, in certain ways, in certain applications. Some are good and are perfect in other applications, but they have faults in others. Every one of your parents comes into the same category when it comes to that. But you see, my point is, as long as you focus on the imperfections, then you can't see the good in your parents. And you will be tempted to just dishonor them and go your way and not respect them because you have a wrong focus. Is that your parents' problem tonight if you have a wrong focus? No, dear sons and daughters tonight, that is your problem. You need to deal with that. You need to make that right in your life. You see, tonight, all authority rests in God. Parenthood and its responsibilities are given by God. Where parents are unfaithful to their responsibilities, they are not only unfaithful to God, they are unfaithful to you. That is true. They are unfaithful to their children where they're not faithful in their responsibilities. They're also unfaithful to God, and they're accountable to God. But you know what? As a child, you can't do anything about that. That rests with dad and mom, with their headship. They're accountable to God for their mistakes and what they do. You as children do not. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is where you are to your parents, that relationship. That's your responsibility. And so tonight what I want to tell you is by honoring the position of parents, you as children can leave your parents' unfaithfulness in the hands of a loving God. I'll just say it like that. My point is this. Instead of spending your life dwelling on the imperfections that you see in your home and in your parents, leave that to God. It's not your responsibility to judge that. It's not your responsibility to pay whatever for that. Leave that in the hands of Almighty God. But respect them and look for the good. Find the good and love your parents in spite of their imperfections. By following this principle, we can honor parents in spite of their faults and their imperfections. If you don't hear anything else I say tonight, at least hear that. At least hear that. You know, Jesus was a perfect example of that. In Luke, it tells us, and he, meaning Jesus, went down with them, his parents, and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother, it says, kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Jesus was subject to his parents. He went down and he sat under the sound of the gospel and the teachers, and Jesus, being part God, knew far more than his parents knew, and had a greater knowledge and had more wisdom and more understanding than his dad and his mom. But he was still subject to them, to the point that they didn't even pick up on that in his life till later on, when he started the work that God had for him to do. And so there's an example. If you know better than your parents, that doesn't mean you have to even let it out that you know better. Just respect them and just listen to them. And decide that when your turn comes to be a dad and a mom, you're going to do it better. But you don't have to tell your parents that's what you're going to do. Just pick up with the flaws that you saw. Should I tell you something else? This wasn't a part of, I didn't think about this until just now. I just got a flashback of a young man who at one point in his life came to me, and he was so burdened by the unfaithfulness of his father, and his father was unfaithful. His father had left his mother and had other women in his life and traveled that journey, and it was a sad journey. And the son was so upset with his father, he could just hardly respect his father. And he struggled with this. And for a number of years, I actually met with that son. We'd go out for breakfast together numerous times because he just needed someone to talk. And this subject would come up time and time again. And I thought he was making the grade. This young man ended up getting married and had several children. And we were still meeting at times. And the day came when he started losing out. And you know what he done? He done the same thing his dad did. Today, he's not with his wife. In fact, he's divorced and he got remarried and he's living with another woman, has children to her, and he's on a worse way than his dad. Another reason for you to take heed to instruction is because many times the point I'm trying to make, and I hope there's nobody here that goes that far with it, but the point I'm trying to make tonight is many times children will actually do the same thing their parents do. So think about that. I want to move on. I have a few more things I'd like to say tonight. The second thing I'd like for you to remember, and I already talked about this a little bit, but as long as you live at home under the same roof, I don't care if you're a 30-year-old son. Yes, once you're 30 years old, there is some special privileges I believe that you should have because you're older and you're on your own and you need to make decisions. But if you're living at home under your dad and your mom's roof, dad is still the head of this home. And you need to still live with the principles that dad has set for the home and respect them. And I know this can get kind of tough. I'm talking out of experience because I actually live under a roof today that isn't even my roof anymore. It's my son's roofs, and they're not married. And they're in their 30s. We're there as a family, and we enjoy family life together. But I understand that there's a time when things start turning a little bit, and I'm glad we have a good relationship. We respect each other. But I'm just saying this, that as long as you live under the same roof, remember that your father is still the leader of the home. Even though I'm almost, as it were, living under my son's roofs, they still respect me. They still allow me to be dad, and I'm thankful for that. You see, obedience is what God requires. I just want to talk about some practical things. Parents make rules for the home. Like there is a schedule. You know, there's a time to get up in the morning and get out of bed. There is a responsibility of cleaning up your own bedroom and cleaning up after yourself. When Dad tells you that as long as you're living at home, you're going to dress the way you should dress, the way the church wants you to dress, the way your father and mother want you to dress. In other words, when he says the clothes that you're wearing are not acceptable and they're not going to be here at home, in our home, it's your responsibility to listen, respect him, honor him. When you're maybe coming to the age where you have take up courtship and you think about that special friend, that special girl, and your parents say, you know what, one time a week is enough to have a date, then respect it. One time a week is enough to have a date. Respect that. The second thing I want you to tell you tonight, communicate with them. Tell your parents, talk to your parents, tell them what your plans are. Tell them when they can expect you home. When you leave home, tell them where you're going, what you're going to be doing, who you're going with tonight. And tell them, look, we'll probably be there till 10 o'clock. And, you know, we as youth like to stop and get a bite to eat. And we're probably going to stop for ice cream on the way home and have a little social time. That's okay in my home. That's fine. But tell me. You know, it may be 11 o'clock till we get home tonight. I can respect that. I like that. But I like to know. That way I know what's happening and what's going. Be open and honest. You see, don't rob your parents of sleep. Get home at a reasonable time and stay within your curfew. I don't know if I should tell you this or not. I won't tell you who said it, but this week at the back of the church, I overheard one of our sisters say something about a curfew time on this side of the wall. And when she came along, I jokingly said to her, so I said, were you always home when your curfew was up? And she said, absolutely. She said, my dad, well, he meant what he said. Well, that's the way it should be. When that was a daughter that respected. Maybe she didn't always agree with her dad, but when her dad told her that, she knew that's what that meant, and that's what happened. That's what I'm talking about. The third thing tonight, have a spirit of thanksgiving for your parents' investment in your life. Do you realize all the, oh, I don't know, what should I call it tonight? Just everything that your parents invested in you. From the money they spent, to the time they spent, the many nights they were up taking care of you when you were a little infant and couldn't have took care of yourself. You were in survival mode. You were in their mercy and they took care of you. And you're here today because of that. All the prayers and the tears and the investment and everything else that went into your life to this point. Think about that. Be thankful for it. They made a tremendous investment, both materially, physically, spiritually. They have invested time, money, sacrifice. They have invested so much. I can't tell you enough. Respect them for that. You wouldn't be what you are today. You wouldn't be here today. So respect them for that. Fourthly tonight, and I'm sorry, this is getting later than I wanted it to get, and we'll get to the end real quick. Ask them for their counsel and advice. Before you make costly purchases, sit down and ask them, is this wise? Is this what I should do? Should I really spend money on that pickup truck that I'd like to have? Do I really have a good reason for buying it? There's times when you need a pickup truck and a good pickup truck, and maybe you should spend money on a pickup truck depending what you're doing. There are other times that you just want a pickup truck and you really don't have a good reason. And maybe you want to spend money on a pickup truck that you have, and you don't have a good reason for doing that. Girls, I should pick on you a little bit. I'm not quite sure what applications to make over here, but there's applications we could make, I guess. I didn't give that a lot of thought. But what I'm saying tonight is those are the kind of things that you ought to have a relationship with your parents enough that you're talking about these things. There's a lot of purchases, a lot of things that you can make that are not wise, and your parents can help you through that. And you know what? Someday down the road, when you really need some finances for something, you may look back at some of that and you say, boy, if I just had that money I blew back there. It just left and I didn't have it, and I really wish I'd have it today. Well, allow your parents to help you through that. Before you ask that special friend, before you accept that special friend, that girl that takes your eye and all of a sudden you say, ah, there she is, that's the one I want. Or that guy asks you and you say, hey, that's my kind, that's the one I want. Yes, those feelings take control. I want to give you a little advice. Go home and talk to your parents about it before you say yes or before you ask. Say, you know, I'm noticing that girl or this young man is asking me, Dad, Mom, what do you know about them? What do you think? You think it's a good idea? You know what? Your dad and your mom probably know their dad and their mom, maybe even their grandpa, and they know some history. Should I tell you something? When I was a young man, we used to have this saying among us, so was her mother. We'd say that sometimes about some of the young ladies around us. So was her mother. The young ladies could say, so was his dad. And there's a lot of truth in that. We all smile and we all kind of laugh at that. But that's young people talk. I'm just being fair with you tonight. That's how it is. But there's truth in that. And if you really sober up and really think about that and get really serious about that, there's some wisdom in going back to your parents and asking them, because your dad and your mom know too that so was his father and so was his mother. Or you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of truth to that. Take that to heart. I'm going to say one more thing. Let's just turn the thing around a little bit tonight. The day may well come, children, that you will have to make decisions for your parents. How do you want them to respect you? And you all smile at that idea tonight. But I just a few years ago came through that very journey. It was actually my father remarried, and I had a stepmother that was in our family for many years, and I ended up being responsible to make decisions for her after she couldn't really make decisions for herself anymore. And you know what? The day came when we couldn't take care of her properly anymore, and the decision needed to, and I wasn't alone in this. I was glad I had an older brother that was involved in it as well. But we needed to make some decisions that she didn't really like. They were hard for her to accept. And we were kind of labeled as just a couple of dirty boys for a little bit. I'll just say it that way. She maybe didn't come out and say that, but that's kind of the feeling I got. But she did listen, and she went, okay, we got her in a Christian home, and she was there against her wishes somewhat. She went there, and she actually was there, and she learned to like it, and she enjoyed it, and she did come back and thank us later for doing it. But at the time and the moment in her life when it was needed, she wasn't quite accepted and ready to do that. My point is this. The way you honor your parents now will probably determine a little bit how they will honor you sometime in the future. That's the point I'm trying to make. I'm going to leave you with one more thought. It's my belief tonight that God places children in our homes, I'm talking about parents now, to help parents grow and mature in their own spiritual lives. There's nothing that helps us as parents more, I believe, than our children in our lives to help us really come into grips and reality with a lot of things in life. It helps us mature. It helps us in our spiritual lives. There's nothing that starts bringing a dad or a mother around more than when he starts seeing habits in his children that he would just really like to straighten out. And maybe he doesn't realize it that they're his own habits until mom says, you know what? They're just doing what dad does. And you start realizing, you know what? Where they're learning it is really from parents. That's the point I'm trying to make tonight. I believe it helps us mature. It helps us grow. And so my point is this, just another point, is that if you see parents tonight, who you have parents tonight, where you have a whole list of grievances and you see their faults and you see their mistakes, maybe you can help them mature. That's the point I'd like to make with that. By your example, by your life, you can maybe influence your parents in a way that will help them. God bless all you young people. I'm so glad for young people. I'm so glad you're here. I think maybe, I wasn't sure if I was going to do this, but I think maybe I will tonight, just give an invitation again. If there's somebody here, somebody, not just the young people. I know there's parents been sitting here listening and heard me say some things, and maybe there's dads and moms here tonight who feel like they need to stand and acknowledge and confess some things. And so let's sing a verse of song, and if you feel tonight, if the Holy Spirit has spoke to you and you feel like you have a need tonight, if you want to tell this congregation something, just acknowledge that, stand to your feet, and acknowledge that. What shall our number be? 720.